This episode is brought to you by Accounting Plus. Here's a story that's 100% true. And it's about how accounting is a great choice of career. Here's the facts.
With accounting, you'll have flexibility, great pay, and the kind of lifestyle you've always dreamed of. It's a lifestyle that's less math and spreadsheets, and more traveling, personal and professional growth, and making a positive impact on your family and community.
Want to start an exciting new chapter? Accounting Plus provides free resources that will help guide you to a successful career in accounting and personal freedom.
Do more. Live more. Visit joinaccountingplus.com.
Good evening, gentle listener, and welcome to Distractable. This episode, Warren Wade gets busted for Pinocchioitis, tears up for Star Wars, and admits he has lived a full life. Bone-picking Bob atones for arseholery and worries about his progeny being prepared. And mentalist Mark explains the inner workings of the monologues of the mind. From cock rings to caskets. Yes. It's time for Do You Fear Death? Now sit back and prepare to be distracted and enjoy the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Distractable. I'm today's host with the most.
Wade. I was going to interrupt you, but I don't have the heart to do it.
I'm joined today by Mark and Bob, as always.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the show where one of us hosts, two of us compete for points, and the winner hosts the next episode. And whatever we want to talk about is what we talk about. And by we, I mean me today, because I'm the host.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
But first, how goes things?
Wait, I feel like we need to address something.
About time.
I feel like there's a rift between us, and I want to get everything out there, and I want to, like, I owe you an apology. The subreddit was really mad at me over this is, and this is going to give away that these are not all recorded in sequence. Sorry, subreddit. But the last episode that came out earlier this week, I was really mean to you. I did apologize immediately following being mean to you. But do you even remember what I was mean about? Do you recall what I did that was so mean to you?
Was it whenever we were doing small talk and I was like, man, that radon thing still making noise. And you're like,
I think you're misremembering because you're the one actually who ended up yelling. But I did say I'm getting a little fatigued because I feel like you're always asking for pity for stuff. And that I felt like it was a lot. The subreddit did not think that was very nice. And even though I did apologize during the episode and I felt like we moved on amicably, they held on to that. I want to give you a chance to address that. You can be mean back to me. You can demand things from me. You can do whatever you feels right to you. I just want to, I don't want the subreddit to be mad at me anymore, okay? I want to bury this hatchet and I want everyone to feel good. And I'm sorry that I was so mean to you, Wade, that I almost ruined the entire podcast. It sounds sarcastic, but that's just how I sound. This is very sincere.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't talk at like funerals and stuff, man.
No, I don't. I'm never invited to do that.
God, I'm really going to miss this guy. Like, man, we were close friends.
We had so many good times.
And he was a really good person. I swear he was.
They send celebrities wedding invitations. Do you guys get funeral invitations? Like, please. Oh, they were such a big fan.
Yeah, a fan was like, hey, we're getting married. I'd love for you to come. And I went and I just got so drunk. And I ruined the whole wedding. They ended up breaking up right after my speech. I don't know what happened.
Kick the coffin. I'm getting really tired of people dying. I'm getting like, everyone just doing it for attention at this point.
We all know he's alive in there. Wake up! If you don't care, then that's also fine. There was a lot of heat on the subreddit this week, and I just wanted to address it because some people seem to be afraid that our friendship was strained and also thought that I was a very bad person, which isn't untrue, but I wanted to address it.
I think it's fine. I've forgotten about it. I've moved on. You're good. We're good. I don't know if this is what happened, but I do know that working with the same people a lot, like being in the room with the same people a lot, there are days where we just have bad days or things are going wrong or like someone says something, it's like, oh, again with this shit. I get that. I have that happen because, you know, I have weird house luck, but I've also got friends that are like going through things sometimes. And you do have days where like you're particularly like just like, like I'm saying you as in we, the royal we.
No, I definitely have days like that. That's fair.
There are definitely days where like someone says something and it's like, oh, your uncle died. What is it tomorrow? Jesus, get it together, man. And then you think that and it's like, damn, why did I think that? That was so mean of me.
Keters is dead. Keters isn't dead. Where's the story going?
We all have days where we're prickly. So it was a prickly moment and whatever, it happens. I move on. I don't hold it against you. If anything, it was good content and I got more definitely earned sympathy from the subreddit, which is honestly a win-win for me.
Earned it deserved for once. Nah, see, that's the mean. The mean's coming back. I'm going to stop talking before I'm mean again.
Well, I'll pick up the mean so you don't have to, because I want to clear the air about something, Wade.
All right, man. Bob, you better have something to go after Mark for next, I guess. We'd have the full circle.
Wade, I have stumbled upon.
A dictionary?
A truth.
All right.
A secret that you've been hiding.
Okay.
So you say you're so unversed in the ways of the Reddit, correct?
I mean, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't have an account, correct?
Not that I know of.
Oh, really? Well. Because I have found out that you, Mr. Lord Minion 777, do in fact have a Reddit account. And not only have a Reddit account, you have had a Reddit account for 12 years, because there is an account by the name of Minion 777. And I know this isn't a coincidence. I know this isn't a fan account, because there is only one activity on this account, and it was a comment that you left 12 years ago.
I see it.
On r/Markiplier that says to Mark's 20,000 subscriber fan video, quote, "You deserve it, Mark. It's been a blast working with you these past few months."
Oh my god. Wait, my username's Minion777?
U/Minion777, yes.
So I'm thinking that this guy has been telling the truth all along, because his memory really is that bad and he probably just doesn't remember.
I've reached my reset password limit.
That's not great.
That's not good.
My first attempt and I can't. Okay, well, that account's gone. Guys, I didn't want you to know that I've had this and I've been sitting on it for years. I was taking it to my grave, but here we are.
Hey, he thought I wouldn't find it. He thought I wouldn't find the secret, but there it is.
I'm going to report this profile.
For 12 years, I've lived in shame. Honestly, I'm glad it's out.
I just want to say I did a quick search, and this account doesn't have any posts or anything, but there is a Minion 777777777 account that's an not safe for work account.
All right, guys, you found my alt.
And I was really hoping that you had like some posts on Gone Wild or something, just like just way deep out there in the Reddit.
I had one wholesome post, and Mark's like, "You son of a bitch, I'll kill you." Bob's like, "Wait, where's your porn?
Where's your porn? Your porn.
Your prawn." Well, I okay, look, Mark, you don't have to accept this apology. You can feel however you want to about it, but I feel like before the subreddit comes after me, I owe you and Bob and everyone out there an apology. This account is something I need to own up to.
Mm-hmm.
I have claimed falsely for years, whether I knew or not, that I didn't have a Reddit account. Clearly, I must have. Either that or else I had an imposter so quick. One super fan before I even started posting my own content, which, you know, I wouldn't say is impossible. I'm pretty great. But it's very unlikely. So I am sorry for blatantly lying. I made that account. I remembered it. I knew about it clearly.
Yeah. I could tell.
I use it every day just to look at that one post. I grab a cup of coffee, which I don't drink. I get that post, I full screen it, and I rub my hand down my monitor, remembering the good old days before we changed.
So, Mark, I've got a bone to pick with you.
All right.
Do you remember in 2009, we were eating chicken wings at Buffalo Wild Wings? No, there's nothing between us, buddy. Are you kidding me? We're fine.
Oh, okay. All right, then. I was trying to remember. What horrible, horrible secrets.
We probably ate at B-Dubs in 2009, but I remember we were at B-Dubs. There was like the couple days after you got your iPhone 3GS. And you got it out, and we were at B-Dubs, and I came in my pants a little because that was the coolest piece of technology I had ever seen in my life at that point.
I don't remember.
I didn't hold on to that jealousy or anything, but I was insanely jealous. It was very...
To this day, there's a Reddit account.
Yeah.
It probably still exists somewhere at like my mom's house or something.
I never sell my old phone, so.
I'm weird about that, too. I don't want to hijack the whole episode or anything, but do you guys weird about your old phones? Because they always want you to trade them in, and I'm like, there's stuff on there.
Yeah, I never.
And even if you, like, format and delete the phone, I don't know what the phone does to delete itself, but not all deleting is equivalent, and that might be undeletable.
I blindly, blatantly trust the person over at the store who transfers the data for me with my phone. I'm like, oh, thanks for the transfer. Here you go. By the way, my bank account, everything else, my business, all right there. Just tap it. Yep, you can access it. If you want to delete my entire YouTube library, go ahead.
You don't even have to do that. You don't even have to go to the store.
You used to have to do that, but not for quite a while. Modernly, you don't even have to have, it used to be you couldn't transfer an iPhone to an Android and vice versa. It doesn't even matter anymore. You can literally plug any phone into any phone and the OSs are just like, nah, here's my contacts, whatever, bro. I don't even care.
I mean, we go in to get the phones. We just go in person to like pick out the phones, pick out our cases.
Ew.
Kind of old school, I guess.
Then you have to talk to salespeople and they're usually trying to sell you stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you enjoy it, I'm not here to shit on you, you know?
So, okay, listen, I'm gonna make myself sound like the grandpa of the group again, but what do you guys do? You just go to, like, a website, order the phone, have it delivered directly to you?
I order it online, yeah. I look, and I'm like, I want this exact phone with these specs and this color, so I don't have to look. I want this, and I order it, and it shows up at my house.
Yeah, and then you just go, like, I know what I'm getting. I've gotten the same thing for 5 years now.
And to transferring takes forever even at the store, though, so transferring your data, is that...
At home, it's super easy. The last time I switched from a Samsung Note 10 Plus to an iPhone 13, you literally just get a USB-C to lightning cable. I plugged one into the one and I was like, this is my new phone, do it. And I transferred all my contacts and everything. It took maybe an hour to like get it all done and set up to where my phone was fully functional. It takes a while, but like you just need to sit there so you can leave it and, you know, go play video games or something.
That's a lot better than sitting at the store looking at the salesperson while it happens. I need to get up to date with technology, man.
Dude, technology is so cool. Have you seen it?
I'm phasing myself out with my laziness.
Dude, I don't even know if you can catch up at this point.
I don't think I can. I don't think I will. I think I just accept the fact that I'm going to phase myself out of relevance.
I did learn a thing. You know how a little while ago I told you, oh, the GoXLR is dead. They're having some issues and they fired all the people.
Yes, because I think I told you this.
You were so... You didn't, but Brian told me this. Brian told me this.
Are you kidding me?
What do you think you told me?
You and I were in a call doing some ad reads a week ago, and I was like, did you see Ryan's tweet last night, dude?
You did tell me that, but I had already also seen that tweet.
You said you didn't!
What? Nah.
Man, the rift is opening again.
You were literally telling me about your new soundboard.
Wait, this is why I can't trust you.
You were telling me about your new soundboard and Ryan having like his new soundboard, but we were talking about Ryan because he had all those issues.
No, I misremembered. You're right.
Oh.
Wade's right, and I'm not going to make a joke about how uncommon that is.
It is pretty uncommon for me to be right with memory.
Anyway, you waited so long to do anything about the fact that GoXLR was going to die that it's not dead anymore. So you're fine. You don't have to change shit. You're fine. You don't have to change a single thing.
Woo!
They decided to unkill it, and they're releasing updates again for the software, so you're all good.
Welcome back!
Well, I mean, okay, the thing that I always wonder about is, like, I get not supporting something, but why does something need eternal support forever and ever? You'd think that at some point they would just have a working piece of hardware or a working software.
The thing right now is that GoXLR needs a Windows 11 driver and did not have one because Windows 11 is very new. But also, it's the OS updates, right? If Windows updates something about their audio drivers and that breaks the way that a thing works, you need an update. Even if it's not a feature update, you need a compatibility update to continue using your device on the newest OS update. Unless you never update your OS again, which I wouldn't recommend because there's some very important security updates that come out from time to time. That's why. It's not like we need to keep the thing updated or it won't work. It's that Windows changes or whatever, Mac OS continues to change, and they might change something that will just make it not work ever again unless you update the drivers for the device itself. So if a thing has no support, it's dead, and it has a working driver, it's literally a matter of time until, like, maybe in 6 months, maybe in 5 years, something will change in Windows, and if it breaks the driver, it's broken, and there's nothing you can do about it.
I see. Okay.
But yeah, that was the thing, is GoXLR, when they announced that, it was fine and it was still fully functional and there was nothing that was going to happen imminently. But at any moment, if they're no longer releasing updates, your GoXLR could go from 100% functionality to a useless brick that will never do anything again. And then you know, if you need to stream or record the next day, then you're like, uh-oh.
For the sake of not wanting to do anything about it, I'm glad I held out.
No, you did the right thing. And I'm shocked that that's the truth. For once, not being completely unwilling to change anything or do anything new was just perfect. I have a new sound mixer and it works great, but that's a little bit of a pain in my ass, and I could have just not done that. I could have avoided that completely.
Just a little bit of patience goes a long way. 1% of the time it works.
I'm usually such a lazy person too. Why did I have to be so motivated about this one thing? If I had just been my usual lazy self.
Parenting has changed you. Now you do stuff.
Stupid baby.
I mean, I also changed everything that I did, and I like the changes that I discovered. I discovered new pieces of hardware, and now I don't even have an XLR-based microphone anymore, and it actually is nice.
Well, yours is super convenient because you've been traveling so much. If I was less stationary and I couldn't rely that I was always at this desk with all my stuff, your setup that you've moved to is so convenient. You can plug that thing into any computer, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it all is very logical. It's like a USB-based device should have a controller inside of the microphone itself. Like, we've gotten to this point where the technology should be there. It should have been there a long time ago, but now it's here, and now it's here, and I'm talking into it right now.
If I needed that, I would have switched to that when you started telling me about it, because it is very cool. But I literally don't ever use a computer that's not this one. So
what if we get to the point where microphones are like instruments and all of the buttons are just on the microphone, so you're like, oh, I want to change my voice. And we play it like a flute or something, like a saxophone.
It just wouldn't be very convenient, I don't think. Because even right now, I've been holding my microphone and I'm like, oh, I'm so tired of holding this. I just want to put it down. I don't have my mic stand set up just yet. I have it. I just like got in late last night.
Would it be more inconvenient to press a button on your mic than it is to reach over and press it on the mixer?
Well, you got to hold the mic. That's the thing. I mean, I'm all about the aesthetic of holding a microphone.
But this arm holds it for me, man.
Well, you still got to have your hand. Look, man, I'm trying to make... No, you're the lazy one. I'm trying to make your life more elegant. Listen,
you're saying that it's easier for you, Wade, to have your arms up like this by your face instead of rested on your desk just next to the thing that has the buttons on it?
Well, okay, I'm in my mind, I'm not keeping it there forever. It's like the occasional switch or button. Like, if I press my XLR, I'm not usually...
Well, you're not... If you don't want to keep your hands up here, all right. Your point is it's not that different to move it back and forth, I guess. But
yeah, but how are you gonna play a prank on your friends? You're gonna, like, I'm gonna play a fart sound effect.
You keep your microphone just off camera so they can't see it.
Well, then your microphone's far away.
Or even if they can see the tip, they can't see the shaft, and you could mess with the shaft.
Yes, we all know the anatomical terms of a microphone. We don't need to laugh about it. It's not a joke.
Which part of the microphone would you say is the frenulum?
The pop filter.
Pop filter? Is that true? I don't know about that.
No, that's the foreskin of the...
It's... I would say on mine, the frenulum is the switches that are like under this bottom plate here. This is really frenulum-y.
Is this glowing light the frenulum?
That's the cock ring.
Ah.
Frenulum, a connecting fold of membrane serving to support or restrain a part, as the tongue.
This guy didn't know what the frenulum was.
Isn't the frenulum also like your gooch, basically? I thought that was what that was.
No, that's the perineum.
The frenulum is where your foreskin meets the underside of your penis.
Now, if we're thinking about that, then this would be the frenulum of the microphone.
Like here?
Wade's weirdly off-centered shock mount that's clearly not set up correctly is the frenulum. Why? I don't think your shock mount's attached all the way around there, buddy. It's like hanging in the middle, not leaned on the metal part.
Unless it's an open-ended C. Is it open on one side?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, it looks like it. Yeah.
Oh, it is. It looks like it. Look at that. Never mind.
Man, I just can't stop collecting W's today. This is really my day.
Yeah, it's too bad you're the host. If you were a competitor, you'd basically already have won the episode.
This episode is brought to you by Mint Mobile. No more overpriced phone plans necessary. Big monthly bills, unexpected overages, expensive, and outdated.
Or you could stay outdated. Vintage is in.
My old phone has the perfect patina of Cheetos dust and teenage stank.
Okay, I have a better option. Mint Mobile, for a limited time, they have wireless plans that include unlimited talk, text, and data for just $15 a month. Upgrade is your plan today at Mint Mobile? For limited time, wireless plans from Mint Mobile are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. That's unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer, go to mintmobile.com/distractible. That's mintmobile.com/distractible. mintmobile.com/distractible.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
This episode is brought to you by Accounting Plus. Here's a story that's 100% true, and it's about how accounting is a great choice of career. Here's the facts.
With accounting, you'll have flexibility, great pay, and the kind of lifestyle you've always dreamed of. It's a lifestyle that's less math and spreadsheets, and more traveling, personal and professional growth, and making a positive impact on your family and community.
Want to start an exciting new chapter? Accounting Plus provides free resources that will help guide you to a successful career in accounting and personal freedom.
Do more. Live more. Visit joinaccountingplus.com.
I should probably start taking this episode over before this becomes about the frenulum, because that's not today's topic. Do you guys know today's topic? I've made several allusions to it throughout the start of this.
I haven't listened to what you said.
That's my thing, Mark. You're stealing my role.
Doesn't it feel bad when he says that to you, though, when you're hosting and you've said stuff that you thought was really clever?
No, not really, because that means I get to give the epic reveal and no one knows what it is. Another hint, last time I hosted, I also revealed what today's topic will be, because it was supposed to be the topic last time. Crossed out on the top here, it is death.
I remember that. I did think it was weird that you kept saying that during that episode when it wasn't actually pertaining to what was
happening. Well, that wasn't really meant to, like, that wasn't, I don't even think it was an illusion then. It just came up and then I like saying it.
It just was in your mind, so you kept saying it.
Do you fear death?
So I can't remember what inspired this. It's just one of those things that comes up. But I remember I was talking to a friend recently and they were like, you ever have those like days or weeks where like you're trying to go to sleep and all of a sudden your body's like,
you're gonna die.
And you're like, well, I'm not sleeping now.
Yeah, actually.
No, not usually. Specifically, like you're going to sleep and then you're like, if I go to sleep, I'll die, or that in general, you will die.
No. Just like whenever you're trying to.
Like a sense of dread, like an unsettling.
It's not like you're going to die when you fall asleep. It's just like your body's like, you know what you should have anxiety about? Death. It's coming one day.
No, that usually manifests for me in a few different ways. But my least favorite is I can't fall asleep without being able to see the door to the room that I'm in, because I can't let go of the thought that as soon as I fall asleep, whoever's waiting is going to come into the door and stab me in my sleep. Can't tell you why, but that happens more than I'd like to admit.
I have that too. It's not quite the same where I have to see the door, but I swear, like, I'll be laying there just like listening and everything's like quiet. I close my eyes and then the house gets louder. Like the air will kick on the moment I close my eyes. It's like, those are footsteps. And of course I've got like a fan in the room, like a floor level fan for like extra hot nights or whatever. Because for some reason, every house I live in, the master bedroom has to be like the room that's the most like, oh, it's cold out, this is the coldest room in the house. Oh, it's hot out, this is the hottest room in the house.
You should get some insulation.
But like the fan, whenever you're half asleep or not paying attention, always looks like some foreign body that doesn't belong there. And it's like, oh, the fan.
What kind of scarecrow fan do you have? Usually it's like in a box shape. What kind of tall, skinny, hat-wearing fan do you have?
It's, you know, it's a big, tall fan with sort of a torso-shaped box fan on top. And then instead of oscillating, it's got these two sort of arm things with smaller fans on them. And when you turn it on, the arms slowly go up and down like this to circulate the air better. So it kind of looks like there's a guy like standing like this over on the edge of the bed, you know?
Is your fan the Mega Man Boss Fan Man? Airman?
Well, let me close my frenulum tab. Mega Man Boss.
Mega Man Airman will be an adequate search.
I mean, if you take out the body and you just keep that round middle part and the three blades.
Oh, you have one of those old stick fans that oscillates, so every time it looks at you every once in a while, right?
Yeah, but here's the thing. I'm guilty of being on my tablet before I go to sleep, right? So I'm staring at a bright screen, which I know is terrible for you, but I do it. Whenever I put my tablet down and try to go to sleep, my eyes are used to seeing something bright, so like I'm looking around the room, I can't see shit because it's dark. I close my eyes, and then whenever I like have that moment of panic, I open my eyes have adjusted, and eyes have dilated slightly so I can see, and all of a sudden, if there's any light outside, like the moon or whatever, it lights up the silhouette of the fan, and then all of a sudden there's just a dark figure standing over Molly or myself that wasn't there before. So I couldn't see it because I had a bright screen in my face. So that's when it freaks me out. When I'm
so
like,
you're saying that the fan starts on the other side of the room and then it's by your bed?
Okay, I'm really giving myself away. We have two fans. Okay, we have one by Molly's side, one by my side.
This guy's got two fans?
So how many fans, if you close your eyes and lay your head down and then open your eyes and sit back up, how many fans are there then? Is it four or is it three?
Well, and there's the ceiling.
Okay, so when you open your eyes again, there's three fans. Got it. Which one is the one that's going to kill you?
Molly's fan.
Oh, okay.
Because that's the one that has like the window by it where the silhouette of death appears.
No, wait. So the other thing, I recently got a haircut, but I had pretty long hair for a while. I was trying to grow it out. And this is not a personal attack, but wait, I don't think you're going to relate to this one as much as Mark might.
I once had hair.
Do you ever roll over in bed and one of your long hair just like falls across your eyes? And so you're like half asleep and you kind of open your eyes and then something in your peripherals is just like woof and your whole body is like, oh, who was that? What was that? Because it's like a little thing just like moves in your periphery, but it's your hair.
Even when I had a lot of hair, like even when I had my afro, that didn't happen because my hair was like curly, so it would stay up. But I would wake up with like a frohawk because it would like, rolling around, it's all flat on the sides and it would just stay poofy on the top.
I haven't had that, Bob, but what I do have sometimes is my hair is at a certain point gets perfect so that it'll go right in my ear and I'll wake up thinking I have bugs in my ear.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that.
Because I'll have just a strand of hair in there and then I'll have to go into the bathroom like I gotta rinse out just in case there's a spider in there and I'm about to go deaf because it's gonna think my eardrum is a snack. And you know,
no, I hate that. I don't like that.
If I don't shave, like keep my beard somewhat trimmed, I have one hair like up here that likes to curl up for some reason. So sometimes if I've not shaved, that hair will just like throughout the night be like, and then I'll roll over and I'll feel it touch the inside of my nose. And I have that sensation. That's the best I can relate though, because I have one hair that just defies gravity.
But to answer the original question is, I don't have that fearing of death. And also, I don't have that fear of falling asleep and there's intruders, because I always know, and I've learned this now, if there really is footsteps, Henry and Chica would have reacted. That's like a nice saving grace, because Henry is very attentive to random noises and to strangers and to intruders, anything like that. If anyone's coming over, you know, if a delivery man is making a delivery, he'll let us know. So he's the perfect alarm for that, and he goes off too often. He'll go off at random light that acts up, you know? If a shadow's moving too suspiciously, he'll start barking. If at night he's not barking, I'm not worried. So I'm fine there.
We're screwed.
We used to have that. Lexi is getting older now. She doesn't react to shit. We'll be in like the main, like downstairs in the family room hanging out, and the front door to the house is like 15 feet away from like our couch in our family room area, right? So it's right there. You can hear if someone like walks up onto the porch outside the door if you're listening. Lexi will be asleep on the couch or just laying on the couch not paying attention, and she will bark after someone has opened the door, come inside the house, closed the door, taken off their coat, set down their grocery bags, and it's proceeding to walk like by the couch into the house. She'll bark once they're in by the couch after having been in the house for like a minute plus already. She used to be an excellent little alarm dog who barked at everything all the time, no matter what. She don't do that no more. I don't get that kind of comfort anymore from her. Now she sleeps through anything, man.
We have three extra blankets on top of our bed for our dogs because they like to burrow.
It's a lot of blankets.
Well, they're not like full like bedside. They're like the little like personal, like you're sitting on the couch and you want a blanket size blanket. But like we have three of those on the bed for the dogs to kind of burrow in. And so they bury themselves. They snore. They don't hear. No. Like I've had to go downstairs. Like I've woken up at night like, oh God, my head's, you know, needed medicine or a drink or something. And I'll come back upstairs and like I'll accidentally loudly step on that one part of the floor that you think is going to wake up the whole house. They aren't disturbed at all. I'm screwed. Someone breaks in.
I play funny pranks on Henry sometimes where if I peer around a corner, like if this is the wall and I go like this, Henry will go, who is that? And then if I disappear behind it, he'll creep closer. And if I go like, oh, he goes, oh. You can tell him like, he'll go. He's such a cute little dog. I gotta get that on video sometime.
Points for dog.
Well, Chica got a bonus point because it's her birthday yesterday.
That's fair. Chica bonus point.
But no, I don't fear death like that either.
So I gave Bob a point also for relatable for the fear of death. And I gave Mark points for not fearing death. And I called them so brave points.
No, I mean, I get the fear of death. I kind of did a whole channel on like the acceptance of death.
Nobody watched that. Nobody watched that.
Doesn't mean you have to believe it. You could have just been a liar or a hypocrite, man.
No, man. I was a full believer. Me, anyway. I'm very much like, when my time comes, I'll be like the turtle from Kung Fu Panda. Just like, my time to...
Okay, I logically feel that way. I do. But there are still times, especially whenever I'm trying to go to sleep, where all of a sudden that anxiety hits of like, I don't want to die. Like, dude, I got shit to do. I've worked too hard for this. I don't want to go. Will it hurt? Even though like normally I'm like right now talking about it, it's like I'm not scared of it. It's not inducing panic. But like there are moments where even though I'm typically chill with it, where my body's like, you fucking liar. No, you're not. Oh, my God.
His name's Master Oogway. I couldn't get that out of my head. That's Master Oogway.
Is it just like an intrusive thought thing or is it?
I think so. Yeah. Because it's just like every once in a blue moon. It's not common. I don't think about it a lot. But every now and then I'll just have one of those nights where it's like, oh, man, I am ready to sleep.
You're gonna die and it's gonna hurt.
Like my brain is just like just out of left field to be like, oh my God, terror. And I'm just wide awake. It's just like that injection,
you know. This right now there's kind of a debate going on about whether people actually have, some people have an inner monologue or not, and some people are claiming that up to 40% of the population don't have an inner monologue.
I don't.
I can't imagine not. I converse with myself all the time.
This is confusing to me, and this is in the same lines for me as the aphantasia thing, which if you don't know, listeners, I also have aphantasia. I can't imagine things in my mind visually. I've been reading about this because it's very connected, because people are intrigued about this. So you guys literally, is it your own voice? Does it sound like you in your head? You literally talk? It's not like a metaphorical thing. It's like you have a voice that you...
I don't hear my voice.
Okay.
But I hear it, but it's in the way I speak. So it's the way I speak, but I don't hear me, if that makes sense.
I don't have, it's not a conversation. It's not like I don't have thoughts internally, but it doesn't feel or sound or in any way remind me of a conversation. It feels like things are manifesting. I don't debate them or have any sort of discussion about them, but it's not like I don't have thoughts. I will, you know, I'll see something and be like, oh, that's interesting. And that'll spur me to say out loud, like, oh, that's really cool. And I want to try and talk about it or whatever.
And see, that's where I think the confusion is lying in, is because people think that it's conversation. And I'm not saying it's a conversation because not everyone's having a conversation in their head, but everyone can in their mind formalize the sound of words. I believe if you learn a language, if you have language and you speak, or even if you don't speak sometimes for those who can't, you could say a word in your head and hear it, no matter the voice, right? It could be your voice. You could make up a voice. You could hear something in your head in someone else's voice. There's so many people like, oh, I read this words and I heard it in their voice, you know, like that. I can hear them saying this. You can have words in your head, right?
So I guess I'm not trying to say that I don't have any words in my head at all, but it really is not like... It's not like language. It's more like how I imagine visual things. If I look at something and I'm like, what's over here? I have a printer over here. Like, oh, that thing's really annoying. It always runs out of ink. I don't have that whole thought in my head. I look at it and I have the like emotional feeling of like, ugh. And I know it's because the thing is always running out of ink and it's expensive and it's a scam. But until I say the words out loud, it's more like a cluster of thoughts and single words, and it's not language. And I never, like, when I'm thinking of what I'm going to say, I have a really hard time like formulating what I'm going to say until I'm speaking, which is why I talk the way that I do, which is kind of circuitous sometimes, because I'll start talking and then I'll be like, actually what I want to say is this, because I can't like form it internally. I have to like process my speaking as it's externalizing to my mind. But I do have words and meanings, but it's not language. It is just like abstract.
People think that it's either one or the other and nothing in between. I'm saying it's like you can do something, but most of the time we're not, because a lot of the thought is in multiple different senses and people prioritize one or the other. And they predominantly do one or the other. Some people probably speak more in their head than other times. And then some people don't speak a lot in their head, but they can. And this is where I think like the nuance falls out, is like people think that one group is always talking to themselves in a constant debate. And sure, there are probably some people that do that. And that's where you get these outliers and confirmation bias from other people. They're like, well, I don't do that, therefore I don't have that. And other people who have some words in their head, and they do have think thoughts and sentences in their mind, are looking at other people who are like, I don't do that at all. I think in like concepts, and they're like, well, I don't predominantly do that. And I think it's like a mixture.
I have the question I would have about this is the thing that your point is not addressing that I think is connected to the inner monologue is, does it feel like another consciousness is thinking and or saying these things to you? Or does it feel like you're manifesting them? Because I always thought that the inner monologue was like, it's like a TV show, right? You're sitting there and in the character's head, they're like, oh, I don't like him at all. That was really rude. Oh, no, I don't know. And it feels like there's two different voices, even though it's all your voice. Is the inner monologue separate from your conscious voice, or is it? Because mine always feels conscious. It never feels like I'm talking to someone else, but I do like talk to myself without responding or anything like that. It just feels like I'm talking, but not out loud.
I have conversations with myself sometimes.
You can, yeah, absolutely.
Then does it feel like there's like two parties with it?
It's not always. So, for example, earlier whenever Mark was talking, he said something like, "You can visualize something," and my brain was like, "Visualize something. Ooh, a fillet. Ooh, a boob." And then I pictured it in my head, and it was like, "Nice." But like, so I can visually picture, you know, whatever. Like, I can picture a nice steak. I can see it. I can see it seared. I can see like the butter running down. Like, I can visualize all that in my mind, and then like while visualizing it, my inner monologue might be like, needs vegetables, and I'll be like, oh, shut up, like to myself, right? Like in my head, I'll have that debate of like, inner me will think something, and it'll be like, and then outer me will be like, I'll disagree with that original thought, or I'll be like, or you know, if you have like one of those intrusive thoughts where it's like, ooh, that's an ugly color, why would they wear that? And it's like, wait, that's mean, why would you think that? Like, I have those kinds of moments sometimes too, where it's like, I don't like a particular shade of green, and if someone wears like a shade of green that color, it's like, ooh, that's disgusting, why would you buy a shirt that ugly? And it's like, but people like things. I will have that inner battle with myself sometimes.
I definitely think it can happen, but the inner monologue that most people are talking about, and this is where the confusion does come in, is like, the inner monologue is just voicing thoughts in your head. It's not the conversation part. There is no separate entity in there that is doing that. Even talking out loud to yourself, you can have debates with yourself. But I think where a lot of people get confused is like, the brain is very good at adapting, and you can convince yourself that it's something else. Or you can even like intentionally envisage the voice in your mind as someone else. And that way you can use it as like a kind of like analytical partner and work through problems that way. Change up the parameters of what you need depending on what you're, or just at random. I think that it can be a bunch of different things, people get confused of what it actually is. But as far as what I'm saying is like, the inner monologue is not a separate entity having a conversation. It's just the ability to have thoughts in your head. And if people keep loosening up the definition, we won't ever actually agree on anything.
I don't feel like there's a separate person in me. I feel like it's the initial knee-jerk reaction thought that gets a voice. And then once I have like, even if it's a millisecond or split second to process it, my outer voice is just me agreeing or disagreeing with that initial thought, but kind of rationalizing my way through it. It's like, that shirt's ugly. That's my thought. And then like, I'll think about it. It's like, well, it's ugly to me, but like, if they like it, that's cool. Obviously my opinion's objective. Like I'll think my way through that. And that's the conversation I'll have. But the conversation will be, ooh, that shirt's ugly. Dude, the people like things. But really what's happening there is, yeah, I have that initial opinion. And then I try to like, rather than be an asshole, talk my way through it so that I'm not an asshole.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around this, but it feels like, and this is not an important distinction, but if we're going to have this, if you want to discuss, you know, do you have an inner monologue? What is that? The version that you're talking about, Mark, feels like, unless you just don't have internal thoughts and the only way that you can think and conceptualize is by speaking something out loud, then any thought is internal monologue. Everyone has to have an internal monologue. That's sort of how the mind works, barring, you know, neurological disorders or whatever, like a neurological state where a person can't for some reason because of genetics or some injury or whatever. But like, that's not a meaningful difference to me between what is and is not an internal monologue. That just means that thinking is an internal monologue. Is there something that is a thought that isn't internal monologue, I guess, in that world?
No, what I'm saying internal monologue is literally just voicing words in your head. That's internal monologue.
So like someone who like has the aphantasia experience, but also with language and words where they only think abstractly and none of it connects to language in a meaningful way, could theoretically be a person who has no internal monologue?
I'm saying if you speak a language, you have internal monologue because you cannot have, it's just the ability to have words in your head. Not necessarily that you always use it, but this is where I'm like, people get confused is because what I'm saying is an internal monologue is just the ability to have a voice in your head and not necessarily the predominant way that you conceptualize information. And I'm saying like, because of the base stated, there's been tons of research, well, not tons because there haven't been tons of examples, but there's been research on people that have been raised in the wild and weren't raised with language. And obviously they still think and they're still human, but they think at a very different level. And their development in terms of their intelligence and problem solving ability is severely reduced compared to like a human of their equivalent age. And it is the analytical monologue and the speech centers of the brain that offer a lot of ability for conceptualizing and problem solving. Because and this is like me quoting research that I've only glanced at, I'm not an expert in, of course, all of this is, and mostly just like, all I'm trying to do is get a baseline, but the speech center of the brain is much larger in humans than in other things, but there are speech centers, or at least vocal recognition centers in other animals, whereas like birds have sound pattern recognition in terms of like being able to take in and repeat and have bird calls, and parrots being able to mimic human speech, and other creatures being able to do this, and whales and dolphins being able to hear sounds and interpret meaning out of them, and therefore thought patterns in the brain start to form in those sounds because it's recognizable patterns. And that's mostly what brain activity is like recognizable patterns, especially in terms of like the ability for the mind to compute its surroundings. You know what I mean? And so I'm saying inner monologue is just the voice in your head or the ability to have a voice in your head. And most of us, the vast majority of humans, have it, even if we don't all use it more than the other.
I wonder if some of it's subconscious too. Like if I gave you letters like tram, T-R-A-M, and I ask you to like think of as many words with those four letters as you can, like how does your brain take that and organize that into coming up with other words? Is there a voice that does it? Do you picture the letters? Like Bob, if I give you T-R-A-M, can you give me another word with those letters? And if so, what in your brain helps you organize that?
It's systematic for me. I take turns putting each letter as the first letter.
Okay, stop there. When you put those letters there, how do you put them there?
It the same way that I would do it if I was solving a problem in my head. There's no visual tied to it. It feels almost like I'm trying to speak, but then I don't speak. And so it's not like I hear anything. It's not like I am debating anything, but it's like I'm trying to say a word. But if I put the letters in an order that's not a word, I don't say it. But if you give me tram specifically, because that's an interesting one, I'm like rat, martyr, not enough letters for martyr, mat, but then we leave out one of the letters.
You can do that. I mean, that's fine.
There's no, I don't hear it. I don't see anything. It's like a exercise in like, if I'm confused when I'm speaking, if I can't remember a word, it feels like that.
I wonder if hearing is where we're getting dislodged, because like I don't hear it, right? Like I can imagine my voice if I want to, and I do speak in my head in my own inflection, but like I said, it's not like I hear me saying, oh, tar, mart, or whatever. But I can both visualize the letters if I choose to. I can like cross one off or whatever. Like I'm really lucky that I can do a lot with my imagination there. But even if I'm not doing that, like if my in my voice, it's like I will say, okay, if I put the M first, what can I do? Matt, Mart, Ma. But like I don't hear me say that, but I ghostly hear me say that. There is the echo of my voice almost saying that, because it's, I don't picture the words. I can, but I don't typically, like I think through it more in my echo of my voice than I do visualize it whenever I'm doing that exercise.
I've been trying to read stuff about this because I think Mark's point is interesting. But everything that I'm finding is basically agreeing with what Mark was saying people incorrectly associate with inner dialogue stuff. There was apparently a 2021 study that where they found that people who experience aphantasia also frequently experience what they've decided to call anauralia, which is a scientific term that was coined to describe the absence of audio imagery, which they describe casually as a lack of an inner voice or inner dialogue. So this research is talking about it like if you don't have an audio imagination, you don't have the inner monologue by the way that they were looking at it. But like the distinction between what you're saying and how they decide to look at it feels very arbitrary. Because even this article, which is summarizing the research, is basically saying people who don't have this like specific audio imagination where they don't hear it in their head still clearly are able to, you know, if you have a to-do list, even if you can't see it and you're not listening to it play back in your head, you remember that you wrote, you know, you have this list, you go to the store and you remember, I need these five things. And so there's some version of that that's happening. I do think whatever this word is, anauralia, I kind of have that too. Because as much as I think it's interesting that I'm a musician, right? So I've spent a lot of time playing music, learning music. And I think a lot of musicians can hear stuff in their head and like imagine what they're going to play and how they want it to sound. And I feel like I don't have that. And it always felt like my teachers expected me to do that. And it felt like I was missing a tool that everyone sort of relies on in terms of my music was more like I would analyze what I was playing while I was playing it and try and achieve what I was going for in the moment. But I think that makes it really difficult to do something like classical music where you're trying to recreate, you're trying to capture a very specific thing, which takes a lot of technique and practice and rehearsing. And you have to know what you're trying to do it, because it's not just like, I want to play this note. It's a very, it's a lot of things coming together.
Yeah. You told that story, either last episode or before that, where you were like, played a chord and you were like, write down the notes in this chord. And you were like, yeah, right.
But I do feel like I don't want to be that guy who's like, oh, I actually don't have an inner monologue. Cause I like see what you're saying, Mark, but I think it's weird trying to separate out the, like how your mind works, how your imagination works from the fact that I do have inner language and I do have thoughts that are essentially my inner monologue, that where I'm thinking about what I'm going to say, how I feel about stuff I'm experiencing.
I wonder if it's just either differently organized for you or if we just have a different way that we interpret our inner monologue. I feel like thinking is evidence of having one to some extent, even if it's different than mine. Because like I said, I'm very imaginative. I can imagine a static image. I can imagine a waterfall. I can put someone in a barrel on the waterfall. Like I can picture all of those things. I can add sound if I want to. Like I have a very active imagination as far as that goes. And with my inner monologue, I will refer to like in my brain, it's like, oh, I'll be talking to myself and then like, oh, we shouldn't do that, should we? No, probably not. Like I'm almost Smeagol in my head. Like it's kind of weird, you know, but like there are times where it's like, oh yeah, Wade, we should totally do that. I have that kind of thought process conversation sometimes and not always. So like whenever I'm talking to you right now, I don't actively hear my voice inside my head telling me what to say. It's an instant, like, or so quickly that my subconscious is just allowing me to keep talking and spewing without really thinking it through. So like sometimes I'll have an active thought of like, oh, mention the pictures, mention picturing the steak. Okay. I keep conversing and talking and giving my opinion without having like had it in my head first that I was going to say like the last sentence I just said about it. I don't know. My active inner monologue versus my like, it's there, but I'm not actively hearing it. I feel like it's still there. So maybe you just don't have it like actively where you're talking to yourself, but it's down there like in your subconscious or something. I don't know. This is interesting. I feel like I have yet again not really gotten into my topic too much.
Yeah, the reason I brought it up was like, because it's an intrusive thought saying, you're going to die, you know.
But it was too interesting not to go into it, because I think it's related and it's interesting enough that I didn't want to interrupt the conversation about it. But I have a couple more quick things we can just kind of quick fire. And if we want to do another episode on this one day down the road, that's fine. But
we should talk about death a lot.
That's a new podcast we're launching, Death in Depth.
I think we've all dealt with it, whether it's pets or family or friends or so on and so forth. We've all dealt with it in different scenarios. Let me ask you, I think I know your answer, Mark, but do you fear death?
I mean, not really, man. I mean, I don't want to. that's the thing is like, I don't want to like right now. No, but it's not like I'm afraid of it.
That's fair. So Bob,
I mean, probably yes is the correct answer, but not in a for myself type of way. I'm not hung up on the idea of like, oh, I got to make sure I get all this in before I go. I'm worried about dying before I'm ready. It's really more like the people that rely on me. And especially since having the baby, James, it's a whole different level of like, if I died when it was just me and Mandy and, you know, and our families and stuff, it's like, oh, well, I would leave, you know, that would be very sad. I don't want to leave Mandy. But now it's like, it's not a question of like, oh, it'd be really sad. It's like this entire baby human is not ready to exist without me yet. He needs me to both be there and like feed him and take care of him, but also to like teach him everything I've learned as much as I can, do my absolute best to help him get ready to at some point be ready to go off on his own. He needs me for that. I'm sure that doesn't go away. Like, I'm sure once you're a parent, even if your kid is grown and they live out on their own, it feels likely to me that there's a deep inner sense of like, I still know some stuff that they might not have figured out yet, or I still might be able to offer, you know, whatever they need. If they need it and I have it, I need to be there for that. And so it's not a fear of death in a very personal sense, but it's a definite fear of like, I need to be here. It's not acceptable for me to die right now because he needs me. I need to be a parent. And I have this like, for more than I used to feel, I have this thing in going into the future where it's like, this is a long-term responsibility and I want to do it, but also I need to do it. And so I need to make sure I stay safe and I need to try and, you know, take care of myself so that I'll be here anytime he needs me, I'll be there. And so that's a definite fear, but I don't know if that's fearing death or just fearing, you know, failure. Because death sort of cuts you off from continuing to do what, you know, all the stuff I'm planning to do for him, with him in our lives.
I feel like I've done more in life than I ever set out to do. Doing the tour, doing the podcast, doing some of the stuff, the convention stuff we've done, like I never thought I would do this many cool things in life. So I feel very satisfied, even though I don't want to die. I also feel satisfied in what I've done because it's just exceeded even my goals for myself. At the same time, weird things, like I remember after watching Avengers Infinity War, I was like, dude, please do not die before Endgame. I've got to see how this ends. Dumb shit like that. Like the new Star Wars trilogy came out, right? And my dad and I used to watch Star Wars when I was a kid, and I was really sad because I was like, well, I enjoyed the first one of the new trilogy. I forget what it was called, but the other two were kind of meh. But after watching the first one, like going to theaters and seeing Star Wars in theaters, I never saw the prequels in theaters. The only ones I ever saw with the new trilogy. But I remember watching whatever the first, God, what the fuck was the first one called?
Force Awakens.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that. And as soon as like the intro started playing and the screen crawl was going, dude, like I got goosebumps. Like I remember like my eyes started like welling up because I was like thinking back to my dad. I was like, dude, I cannot believe I'm in a theater watching a new Star Wars movie. This is so cool. I wish my dad was here to see this. Moments like that. Oh, I've got all these shows I haven't finished. I've got all these things, like games I've been playing, like blah, 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 things I want to accomplish. So I have those things. I'm not necessarily afraid of being dead because I don't know what you guys think about the afterlife. I assume it's nothingness. I don't write out the possibility of there being, you know, God or gods or whatever else. But my assumption is that it's like going to sleep without dreams. It's like you're out. Sin. That's it. Bye now. Scene. The end.
Sin. That's it. Sin.
I thought you said sin too. I was like, whoa, man. Jeez.
I did at one point, but scene. But you know, I just imagine it's just, there's just nothingness. So there's no good. There's no bad. It's just like what was on is now off. So I'm not really afraid of that aspect of it. Cause it's like, what is there to be afraid of in that aspect? Right. The thought of no longer existing is kind of sad. Cause it's like, I don't know. I like talking to myself like a crazy person and the things I am. And then like Bob, like you were saying, there's people that I feel like would be kind of a mess if I were to die, you know, family, Molly, so on and so forth. And it's like, I don't want to leave them because my God, as lazy as I am, as disorganized as I am, having them have to deal with all of my shit and the messes I've left everywhere. I should probably clean up a little bit. Dear God.
Yeah, no, we're getting older guys. We need to make like some death folders and stuff. We need a plan. And you get ready. It's coming.
So I don't know. I'm not afraid of death, but like there's just a lot of things that are very inconvenient about dying that are kind of like, oh, I don't really want to deal with that or put people through that.
That's a really funny fish. Wade dies tragically getting run over by the semi that came back to finish the job. And like, like he rolls up to the pearly gates or whatever. And the I don't even remember, Peter, whoever, the guy who guards the gate is like, hey, Wade, George Barnes, huh? And you're like, it's Wade. No, it says here, your name is George. God, this is, how long is this gonna take? Like, am I in? Am I not in? Like, who cares? This is so annoying. God. He's just said they're like, all right, that's not usually. No, yeah, we can move it along. I mean, there's, this doesn't have to take forever. It's just, you know.
I got things to do, man. Come on, move on.
Such a hassle.
You have a phone nearby? I was playing a mobile game. Can I?
You guys have Raid Shadow Legends up here?
What kind of service do you get up here?
I only use iOS. What kind of phones you got? Android? No!
Please tell me how the new Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 7 ends. Please. I was playing it and now I can't finish it. I don't care if it sends me to hell. Like, I know how it ends.
Yeah, you actually can only play Star Wars games in hell. So good.
Which lever's hell? I'm sending myself. Pete, can I call you Pete?
Pete, I got a sweet crisp 50 in my wallet. What can we do?
By the way, if you use my referral code, Pete, I get an extra 3 gems in this game.
Hey, you're all good people up here, right? So if I tell you, if I give you my referral code, you have to do that because it's nice. Is that how that works? Or
man, I love heaven. I'm having a good time up here.
What if God uses my referral code? Is that like a bonus? Or
hey, when do we get to meet the big guy? Big G? We call him Big G?
Uppercase G. Yeah, anyway, I hope that's how it happens, but only because it's funny and for no other serious reasons.
Anything you guys want or need to accomplish before dying? Like things that like you absolutely are like,
oh, I use it as a motivator every day. Like that's why I do so much is because I know that someday it's all going to end. So it's like it's a huge part of it. Just like, well, I got to accomplish as much as I can. Make the most out of it before I talk to Pete upstairs. Give him crisp 50. Tell him, look what's on this money. In God we trust. But no, it's a motivator.
I don't think that big picture. I think if I thought about death on a daily basis, even if it was a thing that was motivating me, it would be too much. I have a very shallow day-to-day. My consciousness is very shallow. I focus on what's in the moment, and it to my own detriment in a lot of ways, but like it helps me cope with living. Thinking about stuff like this makes me very existential and basically would prevent me from ever doing anything because I would always be so wrapped up in my own thoughts and feelings about like everything. I got to keep it on now, and that's how I get through the day. That definitely is how I function.
There's some places I'd like to go. Like, I'd love to see Hawaii, though I know traveling there is kind of like, they don't love it when people travel there, so I haven't done it, even though I want to do it. Food, it's like, man, I better do Fogo one more time, you know? Like, I want some food I need to eat again.
Wait, you guys got Fogo up here? Off brands? No!
What do you mean it's not real meat, but it's like the real thing? Come on!
Gardein? No! It's good, but it's not the same!
I want to list off some funny questions here about death. I searched questions about death. That's what I typed in the Google search. The questions that popped up. Why do people die? Is death forever? Some final advice. What is death? Do you have a funeral plan? Do you have a will? How does palliative care help? I've never heard the term palliative. I assume it's like end of life care, right? Like hospice type stuff. How long have I got? Was it my fault? Will I go to heaven? And then the last one is simply, why did daddy die?
Damn. Or make a website that's just willigotoheaven.com that just says no with like an echoey voice.
Go back to the question of this, was it my fault, and click to see if there's a drop down. I want to know the answer. Was it their fault?
What it says is another very common question. Tell them that it's not their fault that someone has died.
Lie to them.
Oh, this is how to talk to a child about death, apparently. Was it my fault? It's not your fault that they died. Being naughty doesn't make someone die.
But you are naughty.
The third one, was it my fault? At this age, kids are all ego and believe their thoughts and actions affect everything around them.
Any fucking intention seekers over here?
Was it my fault they died? Is this really about you, Timmy? Not all about you, your ego.
Do you want it to be?
Oh, there's nothing more annoying than orphans. Oh my God.
What do you mean? No, I still have you, Mom? Not anymore. Dad's out of the picture and so are you. Would you guys ever look into ways of avoiding death? Cryogenically freezing yourself? The vampire guy who had his blood from his son transfused into him? Would you ever do anything to try to prolong your life? Or
unless there was some sort of supernatural thing where God came down from heaven and was like, if you ask, I'll make you immortal and it's definitely safe. I would think about that because that would be very intriguing. Anything that's like cryogenic current side stuff that's not, it doesn't keep you alive. That's not prolonging death. That's just all crazy shit to do.
When you said that, the first thing I pictured is God with his hands behind his back and his fingers crossed. And then later he's at like a poker game and he's like, dude, I told him I'd make him immortal, and everyone's laughing. But it was the dog poker game, so it's God playing poker with the dogs, like the painting. That's where my brain went. I just wanted you to know that.
Well, it would be a cruel trick. It would actually be the devil doing that, probably, because you don't want to be immortal. That's not good.
There's a scene in DBZ Abridged where Krillin is like taunting Frieza, and then he's like, kiss my ass, and like spanks himself and runs away. And then like it cuts to Dende, and like he's like, I can't believe you did that. And he's like, the better question is, why did I tell him he was immortal? Because he's not, and he just thinks he is.
You're talking like, okay, so if they had a pill, let's say they solved it all, it's like, you take this pill, it's gonna make reset you to your prime of your life. Just boom, you get there. Every time you take the pill, you go back to whatever your prime would be.
I'd probably take it a few times, depending on like where the world's at. The thing that scares me is like not living forever, but it's like, what happens when the sun burns out? What happens if Earth explodes? Am I just floating around like...
Okay, well, you're thinking really, really down the road. That's...
Yeah, take it a few times, probably get to the heat death of the universe.
You know, maybe. Or like, you know, an asteroid, you know, there's shit that could happen. Or just nuclear war, and it's like...
You see an asteroid coming down, you just start popping as many pills as you can.
They're not going to be able to make any more of these. I better take them all now.
No, dude, it's like that movie where everyone has an amount of time and there's no money. You just exchange your time for stuff.
It's amazing how many people know about that movie for how hard it flopped.
Only good things happen in that. Yeah, I haven't seen it. I just know I've got it because I've seen clips and people talk about it.
I would love to keep going. Like I said, I feel like a million ways to talk about this topic. But if anything, we can have Death Part 2.
Death 2? Death 2 just dropped.
Not many people get Death Part 2.
I'm waiting for Death 3. Everyone knows the third generation is when they really work out the kinks.
What if we call the sequel title Death 2 Distractable? Then people are like, what? It's like, we got you. You clicked. Clickbait.
3 Death, 3 Furious.
It's all about family.
Yeah, no, that's how Vin Diesel talks. It's all about family. Family.
Okay, here we go. Points before I laugh more. Bob, I have you with relatable, learning, others caring, Lexi, bonus dog, and just other point, getting you to 12. Mark, I have so brave, Henry, Chica birthday, inner monologue. He said I had to give him bonus point for Chica's birthday, so like I complied. Bran flake? No. Brain again. Brave again. Brave again.
You didn't write this that long ago. You don't even remember what you meant to write?
Dude, I made a Reddit account in 2012 I've forgotten about. You think I'm going to remember what I did 2 minutes ago?
You have a point, I guess.
Mark, I have you at 5, 10, 13 and a dot. It's 14 to 12.
Why you guys sound so disappointed? Like, I don't know. I feel like there should be some kind of adulation.
I'm not disappointed. I'm just processing. Why do I have to flagellate?
It is sad whenever Bob loses. I do feel bad. You know what? Bob doesn't lose. I feel bad when Bob doesn't win. He's trying this whole not losing thing, and I want to help him, but like sometimes the points just don't add up, and I don't like it when the points don't add up in his favor. He's my friend. He's a fellow Ohioan, and I want to pull for him.
Hey, wait.
Oh, you've renounced your Ohio ship, buddy. You're out of here.
All right. Fair enough.
Bob, do you want to give a not having one speech?
Listen, it's only March or April or whatever month it is right now when this comes out, April. We're not going to make it. This is a loser speech. I'm giving up on that New Year's resolution. Let's be honest. I already lost many times over. It's been a rough year.
Oh, man, I didn't want to do this to you.
I've been a bad friend and a bad person, and I deserve to lose, and it deserves to be called what it is. I brought this upon myself, and honestly, I'm at peace with that. I feel okay about that. But, you know, sometimes you lose, and you should lose. And today I should lose because I fear death, and Mark doesn't. And that's just the way things are.
He did get 2 so brave points.
Yeah, I'm not brave at all.
Mark, winner speech to kind of...
Thank you for declaring me to be a good person by the converse property, the contrarian property. I am a good person because Bob is a bad person. And it's sad that it came to that and that's the way the chips fell, I believe is the expression. But here I am. And as a good person, I am going to be a good person and I will use Bob's referral codes to all of his
mobile games, and I will give him all of the bonus gems and coins that he so wrongly deserves, I suppose, but it's a little consolation for his badness.
Can I have $10,000 that I can win insert name of mobile game here?
No.
What are you, a bad person?
Yeah. I'm the host. Of course I'm a bad person. Wait, I'm here to answer your prayers and stuff? No, I'm here to host, declare one a winner, and send the other to hell.
Wait, what?
Don't worry, Bob. It's fine down there. Very warm. A nice piece of property. You've got lava front property.
Bye, Bob.
You can find Mark at Markiplier. Bob at MySkirm. I'm waiting to find me at Minion777 or LordMinion777. I'll probably be hanging out with Bob in hell, because that's probably where I'm going after sending him there, because it's kind of rude of me to do. Merch. We have merch at
Distractablestore.com, baby.
And if you don't go there and actually buy the merch, then you had nothing to complain about the whole time it was gone. So why don't you go there and check it out for yourself?
Buy it so we can get more stuff.
Wade needs gems.
Buy it so I can play mobile games again. That's it. That's the episode. Podcast out.